This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural AM 1600. Here I am with Justus Neves. We're both here today. Esmeralda decided to abandon ship. I'm just kidding. No, she's not here all the time with us. But Justus and I are, right?
Yes, we are.
And we are ready.
Daily Dose.
That's right.
Here.
Good job. Daily Dose of the Portuguese American Hour. 4 to 5 every weekday, Monday through Friday. We are indeed glad that you are here. We have two guests on our show today. We'll keep it a surprise until they arrive, because there's always good to have a little bit of an element and surprise on the show, don't you think, Justus? If we tell everyone the guests, they may not like the guests.
We want to keep them on their toes, want to keep them in with us, and then they find out.
That's right. So we will have two guests on the phone with us today, as we try here on every edition of the Portuguese American Hour, then when we do a full musical like we did not too long ago with Amália Rodrigues, the Queen of Fado. But most programs, we do have one or two guests. We talk about community events. We talk about Portuguese history. We talk about recipes. We talk about traditions. We talk about Book of the Week, also poems, etc. So everything that involves the Portuguese American world, not just in Central California, but throughout the state, but especially everything that is all Portuguese here in the Valley. And as you all know, the Portuguese American Hour is a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno. And today, our musical guests, and I do mean guests in a plural, because it is a group. The group is from the beautiful island of São Jorge. It's one of my favorite islands in the archipelago of the Azores. I am not from there, but I've had the opportunity to visit São Jorge, I believe, 4 times. And it is a very beautiful island with lots of uniqueness. Besides, it is the island that produces the best cheese in the archipelago, and one of the best tasting cheeses in the world, the Queijo de São Jorge. You can find it here at some supermarkets as well. It is not inexpensive, but it's very good. And the group is called Tributo. This is a group of young people. There are 7 of them. They have taken traditional Azorean type of music, folkloric type of music, but they've given a new spin to it with other instruments, not just basically chord instruments, but also with other instruments, and uniqueness also in their voices. So let us go to the island of São Jorge and listen to our musical guests for today. Tributo.
Deixo o Gaspardo à procura da sorte que Deus me deu. Embarco nesta aventura que fora de ser meu. Navegar na ilusão e encontrar a minha sorte sem nenhuma direção. Parto sem rumo, sem norte, e há de ser o que for e o que for há de ser. E há de ser o que for, e o que for há de ser.
há de ser o que for e o que for há de ser.
And that was the musical group O Tributo from the beautiful island of São Jorge in the archipelago of the Azores, singing a wonderful song called O Que For Há De Ser. It's a very traditional Azorean music from the Azorean folklore that Tributo has kind of changed it, spiced it up a little bit with different instruments and with a different vocal tone to it as well. We are going into our first guest. We are very, very happy to have our first guest on the line for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour, which is a product, as all of you know, of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. And our first guest is a professor from the neighboring university, the neighboring Cal State University Stanislaus in the city of Turlock, just a couple hours here, not even a couple hours, about an hour and 45 minutes away from the city of Fresno. And his name is Professor Dr. Renato Alvim, who has been at Cal State Stanislaus for a few years. And we're going to talk about his trajectory here into the States and also as well about the ever-growing Portuguese program, and that he has really done a superb job at California State University Stanislaus. Renato, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We are happy and we're excited to have you on as our guest. We will talk a little bit exactly at the beginning. So, as I mentioned, you are the professor of Portuguese at California State University, Stanislaus. How did one come from the beautiful country of Brazil to Turlock? Can you give us a little bit of your trajectory as far as coming from that wonderful country in South America, the biggest Portuguese-speaking country in the world, to Turlock and CSUS?
Yeah, I arrived in the U.S. in 2000 with a Fulbright scholarship to get my master's in education. And after I was done on my master's, I planned to go for my PhD. But because my master's was not in Portuguese, I had to get a second master's then in Portuguese to get my PhD. So my 22-month scholarship became a 10-year double master's and a PhD. And then I had to go back to Brazil for a couple of years because of the it was a requirement from the scholarship. And then in 2013, I got a job offer in Washington, D.C., to teach Portuguese. After that, there was an opening here for a tenure track. So in 2015, I just came to Turlock and to stay.
Right.
And since for about, this is my fifth year.
And so you took over, you took over a program that had just a few classes in Portuguese. Lots basically just evolved around Portuguese 1 and Portuguese 2, and you have since flourished into a complete program to where you now have also a minor in Portuguese. Talk a little bit about that, about the courses and about the minor, if you don't mind, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hired to teach Portuguese and Spanish and to revitalize the Portuguese program. And after the first semester, I had to stop teaching Spanish because we already had full sessions for Portuguese. And we offer a minor in Portuguese, which currently takes 24 units. And we decided to change that requirement to expedite the minor, so you'd have more students interested in taking those classes. And now we have a new structured minor with 18 units, which is 2.5 years a student can get a minor in Portuguese. So it's 3 language courses and 2 advanced culture courses.
So talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, of course you have the language course courses, you know, various levels from level one all the way up. But talk a little bit about your culture courses. What do those entail, Professor Honatu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one, and we are offering for the, we just finished for the first time, because next semester we'll have the first group of four students minoring in Portuguese after, I would say, a long time. We offer one course, in, which is more a general survey course related to a little bit of history and culture, a little bit of, when we say culture, we include music, we include some poetry, short stories, some readings, and also a little bit of politics on the Lusophone countries, mm-hmm. or Lusophone cultures. That mm-hmm. includes this semester. We read a little bit about Angola and Mozambique, besides, you know, usually Brazil and Portugal. And in these courses, students did two project-based activities, and one is currently now on exhibit in the main building, administration building, at the university, which is it was a project on Portuguese style. So for this course, the students had, they read one specific article about Portuguese styles. They had a video conference taught by a ceramist in Brazil, in Brasilia, mm-hmm. to, from his office, showing his office and talking to students about his studio and his production of tiles. And then the students produced tiles, like the traditional mm-hmm. white and blue Portuguese tiles. We have, for next semester, we have a survey course on Brazilian literature.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to read short stories, poetry, they're going to write a short story, they're going to write pieces of poetry, and they're going to read a novel, all in Portuguese. And we have a new course that will be proposed next semester that includes more cultural aspects, mm-hmm. but also going to include cinema and music from Lusophone cultures.
And these cultures, these cultural classes are getting, obviously, quite a bit of interest from your student population. So these are students who usually have taken at least a couple levels of Portuguese before, correct?
Yeah, these courses are all taught in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
So these first course that we just finished, the survey course on culture,
mm-hmm.
They all taught in Portuguese, and because this is the first group to reach this level in Portuguese for years, and thus that was the only group of students, five students, who mm-hmm. could take the advanced Portuguese classes.
And these are the ones who, these five students are the ones who, by what the end of next semester, will have the minor in Portuguese, your first minor?
The minor in Portuguese, yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah. And,
A little bit about your student base. I mean, we all know that the Turlock and area, the counties that surround the Turlock area, whether it be Stanislaus or Merced, or San Joaquin, or some of the other counties, are areas that have a pretty good population of Americans who are of Portuguese ancestry, most of them from the islands of the Azores, but also from other parts of Portugal and the Portuguese-speaking world. But I'm sure that there's a wide variety of students in your classrooms. Are your classrooms students who are of Portuguese background, or does it include Hispanics, Asian Americans, all other ethnicities?
Yeah, I'll say that 60% of my students are Spanish speakers.
Okay.
I'll say about 30% would be second or third generation Portuguese speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ideas that we had about changing the requirements, the amount of units for the minor, was the fact that for students to complete the minor in 4 years would take too long. Because this is just a minor, would take as long as a major. so it didn't make a lot of sense. And to become, to make it more appealing also for the students who are not first or second generation Portuguese speakers, we thought that would be interesting to have them more interested in the culture and in the language. And since, because 60% of them are Spanish speakers, and you know, they tend to have a really good grasp from the beginning of the language because of the structure, you know, and the the similarities between Portuguese and Spanish. But also, we think that having such a great population of students who take Portuguese and have the opportunity to take Portuguese in high school, it'll be also a good way to take advantage of this great characteristic and have those students come to our program with already some advantage toward finishing the minor, which means that they can skip first or second semester of Portuguese and probably be able to complete the minor in a year and a half, maybe in 2 years. That would be a way to value also the contribution that, you know, the high schools and even the elementary schools have near offer Portuguese here, like in Hillmar.
So these students who have been taking Portuguese, whether they've taken it, you know, 4 years at high school or a combination of 4 or 5 years with some elementary, they are able to test out of Portuguese 1 and 2 and then possibly go into a more advanced language class and offer and then directly into the culture classes.
Yeah, they could, but this is something that has not, for curiously, enough, they, I don't know, we probably would be the some kind of communication issue, but for some reason, those students get to the university or get to our program not knowing that they could have tested for that. And another way that we found to correct this gap is that our Portuguese club on campus is now in connection with the Portuguese club at Turlock High School, and also that Pittman High School offering Portuguese. I think this was the first year, and they don't yet have a Portuguese club, and but there is an interest to create. We are bonding our club with the other Portuguese clubs, and we're receiving a group of students from Turlock High School this coming January. So we're going to get them more acquainted about the university life, about our program, and also get the communication flowing better. So they'll be aware that they can get take advantage of knowing and having that experience in Portuguese already.
Well, congratulations. That's a lot of work, and that's really building up the program. Pretty soon, you're going to need two Renatos Alvins.
Well, hopefully. Well, yeah, we'll need someone better than me to,
no.
to keep it moving on and making it even more interesting.
Better no. But the better doesn't exist. Look what you have done in just 4 short years. That's amazing. So thank you again, Professor Renato Alvim, for spending some time with us. Congratulations on the minors. Congratulations on keeping students interested in having such full classes, because indeed they must be full classes in the beginning in order for them to continue, correct?
Yeah, currently we this semester we just finished today. We had two full 35 student classes of first semester of Portuguese.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much again. Thank you, Professor Renato Alvim. Congratulations on all the great work. Thank you for all you're doing. And hopefully we'll see you soon here at Fresno State on some events that we have coming up that I'd love for you to participate. Thank you.
Yeah, Alvin, thank you very much.
Appreciate
it. Have a good day.
Have a great holiday and have a great trip, and hopefully you will enjoy Brazil, correct? I'm sure you're going to Brazil over the holidays.
Yeah, in a couple of days.
Okay,
yeah.
Have a great trip. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Professor Renato Alvim from California State University Stanislaus with a terrific Portuguese language program up there as well. As you heard, his semester just ended today. And they had two Portuguese 1 classes with 35 students in each class. That's phenomenal. That's great.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. He was been there since 2015, and in just 4 short years was able to construct a really, really good program. A very nice young man who has worked very, very hard to promote Portuguese at university level. That was Professor Renato Alvim, and we will be right back. We're taking our first short break. We'll be right back with our second guest.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Amanha apetecida da ilha fiz minha casa, do sonho fiz minha vida. Lavrei o mar e a terra, cantei valhos no terreiro. Fui soldado em estranha guerra, conheci o cativeiro. Palmilhei em 7 vielas, saciei-me em 7 bares. Desonrei as 7 donzelas e cruzei os 7 mares. Palmilhei as 7 vielas, saciei-me em 7 mares. Desonrei as 7 donzelas e cruzei os 7 mares. Casamento perfeito, da ternura levedada, fiz 5 filhos a eido. Quis procurar a fartura, minha sorte foi tirana. Lá botei a vida dura na promessa americana. Palmilhei as 7 vielas, saciei-me em 7 pares. Desonrei as 7 donzelas e cruzei os 7 mares. Palmilhei as 7 vielas, saciei-me em 7 pares. Desonrei as 7 donzelas e cruzei os 7 mares.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome to the second segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. Welcome. Our first segment was with Professor Renato Alvim from California State University, Stanislaus. And we are happy to have another outstanding professor with us today. Today is a teacher day. Today is a professor day at the Portuguese American Hour. And our second guest comes to us all the way from Northern California, from the Bay Area. She is professor Professor Tatiana Duchamelo, who is the professor of Portuguese at University of San Francisco, who is also an activist in the Brazilian community, who worked tremendously with us when putting together the specifics for all that is related to the strategic plan for the teaching of the Portuguese language in California, who's a dear friend. And welcome, Tatiana.
Thank you so much, Denise.
It was my pleasure.
Very nice being here.
My pleasure having you here. Let us talk a little bit about your journey into professor of Portuguese at the university. How that journey was. Obviously, you are from the beautiful country of Brazil. How did that journey come as an immigrant from Brazil to the United States and to San Francisco into the Bay Area?
Well, to be very honest, I grew up in a family of teachers. My mother, my grandmother, all my aunts, and some uncles as well. So I pretty much grew up seeing, students, tests, homework being created and corrected. But later on, I actually decided to pursue communication studies. Mm-hmm. And I was happy doing that until... I discovered that I had this call for really, teach people. I've always enjoyed working with people, but when my daughter was born, I was here in the U.S. already, I realized that if I didn't act fast, she was not going to keep the Portuguese language. She was not going to be interested in the Portuguese culture and Brazilian culture and all the cultures that are related to our culture. So I thought it was a pretty dramatic thing for our family, and I didn't want that to happen. So I started literally, reading and being more informed and educated about language education. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I started participating in a group created here in San Francisco by one of the, consulate mm-hmm. staff. It's a community outreach program called Projeto Contadores de Histórias, the Storytellers. Mm-hmm. And on that, they started reading and, mainly reading in Portuguese for the kids of the Brazilian communities. Mm-hmm. Also, some Portuguese families as well would bring their kids. So we used to have like events that used to last 2 hours, full of activities, a lot of reading, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I became involved with that. And right after, I decided that I really had to be more involved with the education itself. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start my master's. And the result of that is that I ended up teaching, and nowadays I teach at USF. I'm very happy about that. I feel that I really am in my element, and I try to just bring those cultures to our students. They are very interested. It's amazing. I actually hear that a lot from teachers from other languages, mm-hmm. Teachers of other languages, when they say that, You know, teaching Spanish is interesting because the students feel that they have to learn Spanish because it's, the second language in this country. But with my students, when they come to study with us, they're really interested in the cultures. They really want to learn the language. They want to be exposed to the culture as much as possible. So they have a really genuine interest.
So tell us a little bit about the courses at USF. So you teach beginning and intermediate courses, correct?
Yes, exactly. So we have it's a program that actually offers also besides the theoretical mm-hmm. kind of grammar kind of teaching, mm-hmm. we also have a conversation sessions. And with those conversation sessions, mm-hmm. they are really immersed in the conversation sessions. They're not allowed to speak any any English. It's only Portuguese, and they try to apply whatever they are learning with the regular classes to those conversation classes.
So the conversational is part of the class, but away from the class, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they are usually conducted by USF students
mm-hmm.
who have arrived from Brazil or from Portugal, preferably recently, because they still have a lot of, you know, the cultural aspects of, you know, what's going on in those countries, and they can expose the students to those things as well. So it's a different experience, because obviously, you know, I'm from a different generation. I'm, you know, older than the our average students. And these USF students who are conducting the conversation sessions, they bring fresher information.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much like what's going on the spot in Brazil and in Portugal. So they are constantly in communication with people in their 20s. Yeah, so it usually works pretty well. I think it's a good mix.
Sure. And the composition of your classes, are they mostly Spanish speakers, or are they a mixture of everything from students who know a little bit of Spanish or students who don't know any Spanish? Or are there any at all that even know a little bit of Portuguese that take your classes?
Well, that's an excellent question. Actually, we've been seeing more and more Spanish speaking
mm-hmm.
students who are interested in learning Portuguese. And obviously, we also get the Portuguese and Brazilian, you know, second-generation students who want to come, and, you know, they probably don't know a whole lot of Portuguese, or they know how to speak, but they don't know how to write. They want to polish their, you know, their knowledge. And, yeah, it's usually a very interesting mix. I think it's good, because they also help each other. So they bring different kinds of skills.
Mm-hmm.
So if one person can speak the language but cannot write, usually the students who do not know Portuguese as heritage speakers,
mm-hmm.
they study grammar really hard, so they have all the theory and they can, so they help each other. And obviously the heritage speakers as well, the greatest thing about them is that they bring so much knowledge about the life itself, the daily routine, the things that they, you know, their families bring to them, the things that they learn just by living with those, you know, Portuguese or Brazilian
mm-hmm.
family members.
Right.
So it's a very good interaction.
I know that you, you're a very innovative professor. I know that you do lots of interesting things in your classroom. We have talked about that at various conferences. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Thank you.
A little bit about one of the projects that I know was something that you did. And the reason I know about it is because we conversed about the possibility of having someone from the Azores also participate, where the students actually got to speak to native speakers of those native countries or regions of the Portuguese-speaking world, whether it be Brazil, the Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa, Portugal, etc. So tell us a little bit about that package, that project, and how it came about and how you feel about it.
You know, thank you. I actually want to take this opportunity to thank you for helping me with that, because it was really timely. So I have this project called My Lusophone Friends, Meu Amigo Lusófono.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to get the students to interview people from Portugal, Brazil, or, you know, any of the other countries. Unfortunately, I've been only able to find people from either Portugal and the islands and Brazil at this point. I'm working on the other locations.
Yes, we need to work on those. We need to get some people from Africa as well, yes. I'll try to help.
Yeah.
I'll try to help, yes.
Thank you. But anyway, so I had this student who was a second-generation student from the Azores, and she's a heritage speaker and excellent, very good student, worked very hard. But when we came to work on that, I felt that, you know, it would be so wonderful if she could actually talk to someone from the Azores, because she's her family's from the Azores.
Mm-hmm.
And she visits sometimes. So you are very kind to find someone who had the time to talk to her. And so she, this student interviewed this person. I'm not going to say the person's name here. I didn't know I was going to be interviewed about that. But anyway, she was able to interview him. And so the way it happens is they have to prepare. They have to decide what they want to learn about that person. So I start by giving them a very brief profile of that person that they're going to interview. And I tell them, okay, this is in general, this is what this person is, what he or she does, etc. But you have to find out more. And once you find out more, you are going to just add up. And so this project actually lasts about 4 hours in total, from 4 to 5 hours. They have 4 or 5 sessions throughout the semester. Mm-hmm. And you may think that, okay, this is, it's not a whole lot. It is a lot because they really have to talk. And when I find those people, I also ask them, please do not use your English. Mm-hmm. Talk to them in Portuguese.
Right.
So the student talked to this person from the Azores, and she did such a good job. She asked about his career, his goals, what he wanted to do with his, with his job, and what he intended to achieve, and how he felt that he could impact the Azorean community here in the Bay Area, because this person just happens to have a lot of good connections with the Azorean community here. So it was a very, really a very incredible and very enriching experience for the student. So she learned about what he was doing. It gave her perspective. It gave her ideas about her own life and her own experiences and her own possibilities. So after that, she also found out that they had some common connections. Mm. And when she went to the islands over the summer, she had the opportunity to go and meet the person she interviewed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and she was very happy. And then she sent me a message and she said, "Can you believe that? I actually met him." She sent me pictures. So it was a very good experience. We're still in touch. And she is really interested in continuing learning more about the community and to become more involved.
Right.
So I think that's the goal.
Sure, sure. And of course, these students have the same experience when they contact people in Brazil. The ones who have these contacts with Brazil, is this one particular region, or have they had the opportunity to talk to people in different regions of Brazil?
Well, different regions.
Okay.
I get people who are willing to spend time with the students, mm-hmm, online and be interviewed by them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I do my own filtering. I try to find out who can do that. Mm-hmm. Who will be adequate and, have some common objectives,
mm-hmm,
and, things that would make them work well together. But I've had people in Brazil from pretty much all the regions, all of our 5 geographic regions in Brazil, south,
right.
Northeast, you name it. Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
Good. Do you mind? Do we have to take a little bit of a commercial break? Do you mind staying on the line, and so we can continue?
I'm gonna be here.
So we can continue our conversation.
Sure.
Because I'd love to talk to you a little bit about Brazil. Brazil is a fascinating country. So many of our listeners probably don't know much about Brazil, and so since we have you on the line, we're going to take advantage of you if you're okay with it.
Thank you. Yes,
good,
of
good.
Course,
so
I'll be here.
Please just stay on the line, and we'll be right back after just a quick break with our third segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute here at California State University, Fresno.
Thank you.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to our third and last segment of the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural Radio 1600 AM, and obviously not just on your regular AM dial, but on any phone app, and also live streaming on www.multiculturalam1600.com anywhere in the world. We are speaking with Professor Tatiana from USF, University of San Francisco, who is professor of Portuguese, who is also very, very involved in the Brazilian community in the state of California, we talked about her classes. We talked about a wonderful project of connecting students to folks in different parts of Brazil and in Portugal as well. And now, because of our audience, Professor Tatiana, mostly, I mean, we have folks obviously that are of Portuguese background, second, third, fourth generation. We have students. We have folks who are not of Portuguese background, whether they be Hispanic or any other ethnicity that composes this great valley in this great state. Let's talk a little bit about Brazil. So Brazil is, of course, that sleeping giant in South America. And that when I mean sleeping giant, that is in no way as a negative comment, because I love Brazil and I love the culture and I love the food as well as the music. I was growing up with Brazilian music. Brazilian music is part of who I am. But it is a country of nearly 200 million people. If Portuguese is the fifth or sixth or seventh, depending who you speak with, most spoken language in the world, it is because of Brazil, or else it would be like the 45th or 50th. So tell us a little bit, for those of us in the listening audience that don't know a little bit about Brazil, tell us about some of the I know Brazil's gone through some challenges lately, and right now has a government that is kind of, well, that's going all over the world, it seems like. But what are some of the challenges, in your opinion, that Brazil as a country is facing today, and that hopefully they will overcome and bring Brazil into this being actually the second largest country in this hemisphere?
Well, I think there's a lot of issues right now that need to be tackled. I think we need a task force to sit down and analyze all of that.
Yeah, I know we would probably need a couple hours, and we only have about 5 minutes. But some of the, Brazil is such, you know, the Brazilian music, the Brazilian food, the Brazilian people themselves are widely liked and respected all over, not just Latin America, not just the South American continent, not just North America, but all over the world as a happy, loving people. Yet the country faces some dilemmas, correct?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I think one very important point is that we could be working more on maintaining our representation, like our good representation throughout the world. Mm-hmm. I think right now, maybe because of, you know, our politicians and our government officials, some of them are not as experienced as they used to be. Maybe they're still in the learning process. I think a lot of things are just not working correctly for Brazil. I'm just afraid that we will send the wrong message, that we are very immature as a country. We cannot negotiate properly, especially taking in the account the fact that there's so many new developments in the world. We have this whole environment, mm-hmm. Issue going on. So how is the government reacting to all of those issues? Mm-hmm. How should they be more productive? How should they conduct the debate and the discussion? Obviously, we know that Brazil is a large economy. It's a very big country. It's a huge market.
Mm-hmm.
We could all benefit from those factors. Mm-hmm. I don't think we are currently. I do remain hopeful that things will, you know, eventually fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can always learn from mistakes and errors. So I'm hoping that this government will eventually find, you know, its way,
mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to bring Brazil back on track. I'm finding that things are right now, they're a lot of things are undefined. But, you know, let me tell you, the interest that I see, like when I talk to people from different nationalities and even our students, I see that people are still very interested in knowing what's going on with Brazil, and they want to learn because they see the opportunity. I've been also hearing a lot of people saying, you know, huh, Brazil, okay, and what about Portugal? So people are finally making the connection and finding out that Brazil is Brazil also because of this, you know, connection with Portugal. So let's find out what Portugal is all about as well. So people are connecting the cultures, they're connecting the languages, and this hopefully will be good for all of us. But it's going to take time. I'm hopeful that, you know, our leaders will really be able to acknowledge and recognize the importance of education, the importance of having a decent and very, how can I say, more conscientious.
Correct.
An environment of, you know, policy in place, because right now I think they're still trying to find out what is best for the country.
And here in California, there is a pretty strong Brazilian community, especially in the Bay Area, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's pretty solid. Mm-hmm.
And it's basically folks who've immigrated within the last, 10, 20 years or more or less?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this new wave. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do Brazilians continue to immigrate, or is it something that kind of stopped a little bit from your perspective?
Well, they are coming.
Okay, they are coming.
They have not stopped, and they continue coming.
Yeah, and so hopefully there will be more economic opportunities in Brazil itself. I think for language learners, and to end our conversation where we started, teaching the Portuguese language in California, I think for language learners in California, Portuguese obviously opens up a lot of markets, and the biggest market being Brazil. So I think there is a lot of interest in the Portuguese language in California, and a lot of it has to do not just with the heritage speakers of second, third, or even fourth generation with roots in the Azores or mainland Portugal, but also because people can see how indeed, and it will happen, Brazil is such a economic powerhouse that can create opportunities because we're now in a global market. Don't you foresee that as well?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so hopefully our students will continue to be interested in the Portuguese-speaking country, especially in our neighbors to the south in Brazil, and hopefully people will continue to visit that beautiful country and enjoy it. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Thank you for all you do for the Portuguese language in California. You're one of our heroes, and we thank you also for this bridge that you and a couple others believe in so deeply, that we can really have between all Portuguese language speakers are all people who are of Luso cultures all over the world. Again, thank you and best of luck at USF, and thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Denise.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do as well.
Thank you. It was an honor, and we'll hope to talk to you again in the near future. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was Professor Tatiana Dutramello, who is the professor of Portuguese at USF, University of San Francisco, who has done some exciting things, who is not afraid of challenging her students and taking them into a different level, like this one where they actually have to have an interview with a native speaker of that country, of that region, and talk about not just the things in theory, but about their life, their goals, their family,
yeah,
how life is, and That is the important thing about learning a language. It's also learning about the culture, the people, and how they live in that respective country. So, again, it was, I think, two very good guests, Professor Renato Alving from CSU Stanislaus and Professor Tatiana Dutramello from USF. We have finished our breaks, and we have, I believe, just a little over 6.5 minutes of the show. And we'll listen to a little bit of music, and when we come back, we'll have our recipe of the week and also some Portuguese community news. But let's listen to one more song from our musical guests for this Portuguese American Hour, the Grupo Tributo, a musical group from the island of São Jorge in the Azores.
Sou pescador de barco à vela, vou mesmo agora para o mar. Deixo em terra uma donzela, que fiquei minha a pensar.
Senhora da boa viagem, padroeira dos pescadores, escuta-me nesta mensagem, beijo também nos amores.
Tira-lhe.
And that is Tributo from the beautiful island of São Jorge in the archipelago of the Azores, where lots of Americans of Portuguese ancestry, particularly in the state of California, and particularly throughout the San Joaquin Valley, can trace their roots, whether they be of second, third, fourth, and even some folks of fifth generation. Not too long ago, I had a conversation with a young man in his early 70s. That's still very young. And in the Sacramento area, in our state capital, whose family had immigrated from the Azores in 1838 to the state of California. So even before we were a state, when we were part of Mexico. And so the immigration from the Azores has a very, very long history to the state of California. Our last few minutes, just to talk a little bit about some Portuguese community news, some Portuguese events coming up. And, of course, we are on break here at the California State University of Fresno, actually starting soon, starting tomorrow. But we will... The Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute will continue working, including producing this Portuguese American Hour every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5. It's a daily dose, as Jessica has said, every day, so listen to us. But besides that, we are also planning events for the next semester, and I'd like to everyone to put on their calendar April 25th. It is a date I've mentioned here before. It's a symposium, our very first symposium, on the state of the Portuguese community throughout the state of California. So we'll have... leaders and activists who are involved in the Portuguese community from various parts of the state, certainly from the Valley, and it will be an open discussion, an open forum with lots of different activities from 9:30 in the morning until 12:30, and it will end with a hosted at no charge for those participating. Lunch of a Portuguese sopas, but traditionally done Azorean style with the soup, with the cozido, with all the meats and vegetables, free of charge for everyone. So put that down. That is April 25th. The space is limited. We can have about 80 people, and we'll have different community leaders. I think it'll be a very important forum for us to take the community beyond the 21st century. As the community has drastically changed, we no longer have immigration from the Azores or Portugal, very, very little, family here, family there. And so our exodus is in big numbers, basically ended in the late 1970s. So it's been a little over 40 years. So now we kind of need to talk about what's our next step. And that's one of the reasons why we'll have this symposium on April 25th at the California State University of Fresno in the Henry Madden Library as part of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute service. Also, those of you who have students in high school who will be going to college next year, who are seniors, do remember that the Cabrillo Club offers scholarship. They are scholarships for all students. The three requirements are, first, they must be of Portuguese background. Second, they must be a USA citizen or a permanent resident. Third, they must have a GPA of 3.5 or better and attending a high school in California, and then register to attend either a community college or a state college or a UC. For more information, you can call 559-688-8070 and Senhora Dulce Nunes. That's 559-688-8070. Remember that the Portuguese Hall in Tulare, the TDES Hall, is putting on a crab chipino feed that will be on January the 31st, and this event is to collect funds. The proceeds are to benefit in the 2020 TDES Portuguese Festa, the Holy Ghost Festa, the Festa do Espírito Santo of Tulare. And this dinner is $60 per person. For tickets, you can call 559-909-2268 or 559-679-9072 or get a hold of me and I can give you more details. Also, the St. John's Hall in Hanford has lots of events coming up. They will be having a New Year's event. The price is $35 per person. For more information, call 559-917-2802. And they will be also having different events in January and February that we will be talking about in future editions here of the Portuguese American Hour, as we are going to end it with a very, very quick recipe because I promise you a recipe. So here it is. It's called Sonhos, or Dreams. It's a sweet, and it's a very simple recipe. It calls for 1 cup of flour, 1 teaspoon of butter, 1 lemon peel, 1 cup of flour, and 7 eggs. So really, really, really not a very good recipe for one is on a diet, but they're very good. In a saucepan, you bring the water to boil. You add the butter and the strip of lemon peel. When the water is boiling to a point, you remove the lemon peel and add the flour, stirring very fast until the dough forms a ball. You remove from the heat and cool. You add the eggs one at a time, mixing them very well each time. Then you let this mixture rest for another 10 minutes. You heat an oil, and in a deep saucepan, you drop the dough by the teaspoon until golden fry. You remove the oil, you remove from the oil, that is, and place them on a paper towel. You glaze them with either an orange glaze that can be made or just with some sugar. This makes about 24. They're called sonhos. The orange glaze is basically, if you want to use it, just 1 cup of sugar and 1/2 cup of orange juice, mixing it in together, making that glaze that you put over these, and it makes a very, very sweet, traditional sweet for the holidays called Dreams, which means in Portuguese sonhos. That is a very, very quick recipe as we end this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time every day, 4 to 5. Thanks, Jesus, and thank you all for being with us.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.
KGST, Fresno, 1600 AM.